Hello, Spectacular Show subscribers and listeners. Thank you so much for tuning into the Spectacular Show Warp Zone. Now, before you get worried, this is just a little deviation this week, and we will be back to a traditional Spectacular Show format next week with a Dash 1 level on Tuesday and a Dash 2 level on Thursday. But for this week, we'll be doing something a little different on Spectacular Show. Since we didn't give you guys a Tuesday episode, we wanted to give you something extra, so this week we'll be in the Warp Zone for three, count them, three episodes, where we'll be looking at three films of legendary Japanese filmmaker Hayao Miyazaki. And joining me here in the Warp Zone is a Spectacular Show fixture, actor, director, and casting director, Samantha Jane Tilton.
Bring it in! Ayo!
Sammy Jane, thank you so much for being here.
Great being here.
And for doing this with me. I'm very excited to have you here to talk about these films.
I'm so excited.
Now,
I've never seen them until now.
They're also newer to me. I'd heard of them. I'd seen some of them. But before we get into the movies,
yes,
let's just give a brief bio on the director and the filmmaker, Hayao Miyazaki. Now, this is straight off Wikipedia. Hayao Miyazaki is a leader in the area of anime or Japanese animation. His company made the animated movies Spirited Away. That's probably his most notable and popular and successful film. Also, My Neighbor Totoro, Kiki's Delivery Service, Porco Rossi, and Princess Mononoke. His company is named Studio Ghibli, and I actually looked that up for the pronunciation because it's spelled G-H-I-B-L-I. Apparently it's Ghibli. In 2001, he won the Academy Award for Best Animated Feature for Spirited Away.
Wow.
It was the first anime to win the award in that category.
Wow.
An anime film had never won it before then. Or I don't know if it's since, maybe, but
I didn't know that. That's amazing.
Now, he was born in 1941, so during a press conference at Italy's Venice Film Festival, he announced that he was going to retire from the production of feature-length films, and he announced his retirement on September 2nd, 2013. Now, that being said, he's made some legendary animated films, and I'm so excited to discuss them this week with you. And we picked three for this week. Now, I'm going to keep the other two films a surprise. I want people each day to be surprised when they tune in.
Okay.
So we do have two other films this week, but here in the Warp Zone, we're going to begin. Our first movie of his that we are going to discuss is Kiki's Delivery Service.
Yeah.
Now, the overall plot of the film, which was released in 1989 in Japan, Kiki is a 13-year-old witch, and as is custom for witches, she has to leave home at the age of 13 to go train on her own. Now, before I keep going, just in case anybody is sitting out there and they want to go see this film, we're going to talk extensively about it.
Yeah.
Spoilers galore. Make sure you go watch the movie first if you want to see it before you listen about it. Okay. So, witches go at 13 to train on their own. In this feature, she moves to a seaside town with her talking cat, Gigi, to spend the year alone in accordance with her village's tradition for witches in training. After learning to control her broomstick, she sets up a flying courier service and soon becomes a fixture in the community. When the insecure young witch begins questioning herself and loses her magic abilities, she must overcome her self-doubt to get her powers back. Now, in the English version, there were two apparent releases. There was one in 1990, and then they re-released the film under the Disney umbrella in 1998.
Oh, wow. That's almost 10 years. Okay.
Yeah. And the part of Kiki is played by Kirsten Dunst. Gigi, her cat, is played by Phil Hartman. Osono, one of the people in the town that she becomes friendly with, is Tress McNeil. Ursula, her friend, is Jeanine Garofalo. Tombo, you said he sounded familiar.
Yes. Who is Tombo?
Matthew Lawrence.
Really?
Yeah. Pardon me. I'm going to say this guy's name wrong. Fukuo, who is Osono's husband, who is not really credited in the movie, is Brad Garrett.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then also some of the other characters, Kokiri is Kiki's mother. That's Kathy Susie. And Okino is Kiki's father, played by Jeff Bennett. There are other characters too, but we'll stick to that. Now,
I'm looking up Matthew Lawrence because I'm like, wait, Matthew Lawrence. And it's who I thought it was. That's why I knew the voice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So right off the bat, good.
No, I was going to say, you know, you said that there's a lot of spoilers, and you know, anybody that knows me knows I hate to know anything about a movie before I see it. I don't want to know who's in it. I don't want to know what it's about. Happy, sad, nothing. I just want to go in blind. But you know what? Even if I would listen to this with a bunch of spoilers, this is a movie where I think it doesn't ruin anything. I would still love to see this with all of the information that I would know now. It like really stands really tall for me.
Yeah, his movies, and I love animation. I've loved cartoons since I was a kid.
Yeah.
And the animation, Studio Ghibli is just, I mean, it's, in my experience, unparalleled. The animation in all of his movies that I've seen, but there are some particular sequences in this one that are just unbelievable to me. Right off the bat, the opening sequence when she's just laying in the grass on a sunny day, listening to the transistor radio by her head, and the sky, the clouds are just rolling across the sky, and the weather report is telling her, like, it's a beautiful day today, and it'll be a beautiful night with a full moon, and tomorrow another beautiful day. And the little bee, I love those little – one thing he's great at, or the studio is great at, is just those little tiny moments when the bee just just buzzes in and buzzes out, you know, just gives it a little authentic moment there, kind of connected to nature.
Yes.
One thing before we even dive into the plot and stuff, I wanted to say that I thought was interesting is, of course, this movie was released in 1989. This is before Harry Potter.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And it's just, she's a witch. At 13, she goes away. They don't really go too deeply into it. It's just a thing that's
just
assumed in the film.
It's just like, accepted. Like, oh,
you're a witch. It's a family of witches. They're just as normal as regular people.
Yeah, it's what you do. You go away. You fly.
There's very little explained except that she has to go away at 13.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was just immediately starting the film. I was just kind of like, 13. That's like if you go away to sleepaway camp, you're homesick and you write home and it's only for a couple of weeks even, but like it's like nope, for a year you're on your own making your way in the world. You don't talk to your family at all. It's just so amazing to me.
It's crazy to
me. Yeah. Yeah.
And the whole opening sequence where is just basically just her, she realizes there's a full moon. And she is going to use tonight, because tonight's the night. It'll be a nice, clear night. She's got to get out of here tonight, because next month, when the full moon comes, maybe it's going to be cloudy, and that'll ruin everything. So she's got to go.
I love the innocence of it, because even her cat was like, you sure you want to go tonight? Oh, I was thinking maybe another night, you know? And she's like, nope, tonight. And 13 years old, she's just ready to make her way in the world. Like, she's ready to do it.
And she's actually the cat. Gigi is arguing with her, and she's cutting out his excuses. At 13, she's the reasonable one.
I know.
Like, no. We can't. What if I meet a nice boyfriend, and then we'll never leave? We got to get out of here. And actually, I don't know if she says that in the English version. I can't remember.
I was just about to say, I don't know if she said that.
Okay, so it's funny because one of the things in this movie, now I've seen a few of his movies. One of the things in this movie is when I watch his films, I like to watch the Japanese version with the subtitles. And then I watched the English dubs.
After watching this, sorry to interrupt, but I've only seen the English one. I actually wanted to now see the Japanese version.
Well, it's funny because I did recently watch it with the Japanese dubbing and the English subtitles. And there were a lot of things of all of the movies I've seen with the dubbing, this one had the most differences, even if they were small. Mm. One of them being, in the Japanese version, that's one of the things she says when she's getting ready to leave. Like, what if I meet a wonderful boyfriend? Then we'll never go. So she's just stuffing all the stuff in her bag to get out of there. And there were some other things, too. One thing in particular, Phil Hartman is the voice of Gigi. Oh, I don't know. That's a terrible Phil Hartman. I don't know if we should go. You know, like that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas in the Japanese voice version, in the original, the cat is more like Pikachu. It's really kind of, it's like this high-pitched squeaky. And I feel like it, no dig on Phil Hartman, he's a legend. But I thought that voice for the cat in the original version, the Japanese version, fits so much better.
Well,
he felt kind of out of place to me here.
Well, that's what before knowing that, I said to you, I feel like the cat's voice doesn't go. Is that what I said? I said something yeah. like that. And you were like, we paused it. And you said, actually, in the other version, it's more of like a Pikachu voice. And I said, yeah, that would seem right. Like, the voice didn't fit for me.
Yeah, me
it
neither.
It didn't work. And then after you told me that it was so different in the Japanese version, I got mad at the voice. And then I kind of was like, kind of really was disliking it for a little bit. But then I was like, embrace it. Just take it as it is. You could see the Japanese version. But it did. There's something to be said about the original and that was the vision for it.
Right.
So for it to be so different, it kind of being a creative person, I'm kind of like, no, go closer to the vision.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
It's part of the storytelling of it.
I agree. Yeah. I thought the cat's voice, they kind of made him, in the original version, he's kind of cute and defiant. In this one, he's kind of like the angry guy at work. Like, we got to do that.
Right. Like kind of a little bit of a grumpy, stuck-up old man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yes. Which is, I'm like, no, but you look so cute.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing is the cat is so small and so delicate and so cute.
Yes.
I just don't think the voice fits very well.
His voice is great, just not for this character for me.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Me too. Okay. So she leaves town. Mm-hmm. Everybody comes in the middle of the night. Everybody comes to see her off. And I love right away, it says a lot about her. She takes off on the broom and everybody's cheering her on. Go, Kiki, go, Kiki. And she takes off and then it's like she's riding a bike down an aisle of a supermarket. Just bang, bang, bang. She's bouncing off all the trees. She really can't do it yet.
She can't do it.
Her parents are both like tense, like, oh, is she okay?
I know. Oh, that's got to be so hard. That's why it's so fascinating that this is like a normal thing. A 13-year-old just taking off in the world, flying.
Right.
Not to mention just taking off, but flying. And her parents are just like, okay, hope she's going to be all right. They're like, will you call? And they're like, write sometimes. It's like total disconnect. Yeah, but she's just bouncing off, but she does it.
And she takes off at night. Her dad lets her take the radio. Hmm. And she has it fixed on her broomstick. So she takes off with Gigi, and they're flying. And there's a Japanese song playing. There's someone singing in Japanese. And what I love is that's kind of the score to the movie. That's the whole – there's no other sound. It's just that. But then there comes a moment where the cat, Gigi, points out, hey, look, another witch. And there's mm-hmm. another girl flying with her cat on a broom. And now suddenly the music is coming through the radio.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Yes.
So she can, so she flies over and now the sound, which was, you know, coming out of the hole.
Right, like the soundtrack.
Right. Now it's like coming out of like this little speaker.
Yes.
You know, this kind of like transistor radio sound.
That's a good point. That's really, wow. I didn't notice that, but that's really cool.
And I like this moment too, because it also, it kind of solidifies what it is to be a witch. Because again, like we said, we don't get much explanation. Mm-hmm. This moment with this other witch that she meets momentarily, even though this character is so snooty and so rude, it's a good moment because it tells a little bit about it. It feeds the plot. It, you know, it feeds into something we need to know. You know, she floats over to her and she says, good evening. And she's so snooty. Would you mind turning off that radio?
Such an inconvenience in this big sky of mine.
Like, exactly,
she's
yeah.
so mad. And
she literally has her nose turned up.
You know, it's funny because when Kiki's leaving the town, so all these other little girls, and they're like, oh my God, so cool, you're going, and this and that. And then she meets this other witch in the sky. And I feel like it's the first moment you see Kiki. Where it's funny because you described it in the description of the movie, that this insecure witch.
Right.
And it was that moment in the sky that she started to become insecure.
Yes.
It was like she sees somebody a little further along, and this person's so snooty. And whether or not, I feel like a lot of people do that in life, they act like they have it all together, but everybody's, you know, insecure and nervous. But this witch is like, I'm good at what I do.
She's good at fortune telling yes. about love.
And she's like, I'm good at this in my town and blah, blah, blah. And she doesn't even talk like that, but she's very snooty. And that was the first time Kiki's just like, can I do, oh no, what town are we going to live? Oh, is it going to? And I love that. I love that there's something about going away from home and having to kind of figure out who you are for the first time.
Right. Especially so young.
So young. I know.
And so she meets the girl.
Yeah.
she, and the girl does kind of talk down to her. And there were, like I was saying before, there were some differences. I think she says in the first one, in this one, she's like, oh, wow, what a huge town that you live in. Because you have to, that's the idea, is as a witch, you have to go find your own town where there are no witches to set up your life.
Set up shop, yeah.
Yeah. And she said, oh, this is my town. And she lives in this, over this town where there's like a big neon pinwheel.
That's right. Yes.
Windmill.
It's like a big city. It looked like a big city, yeah.
And she, in the original version, she says something like, it's something like, it's kind of boring, but I like it. Or it's not much, but I like it. Something along those lines. Whereas in this one, Kiki's like, what a big city. And I think she says like, yeah, I had to figure it out or something.
Yeah.
It was something small, but different.
That is very different.
Even when you were talking about the little girls who, before she goes to fly away, they're like, oh, Kiki, you're going to a new town. She's like, I want to get one by the sea. And she said, oh, there will be boys there. And they all start giggling.
Yeah, yeah.
In the Japanese version, they said something like, I bet they'll have a disco. And then they all start cracking up laughing. Yeah.
See, for me, I know they're small, but they're big differences.
Right, yeah.
They really are, because they say something about the culture of being that young and little girls and what the person envisioned for this character.
Yes.
Yeah, so for me, those are big deals.
One thing I want to say just before we keep going, this movie is an adaptation of a novel. This movie is an adaptation of a 1985 novel of the same name by Eiko Kadono. So this was a book first. I don't know if his other movies necessarily were, but I just wanted to point that out. I had forgotten to mention that earlier.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, you had told me that. And I was asking, because I especially was asking, is this supposed to take place in Japan?
Right.
And that's something I'm still curious about. I know it was an adaptation of a book or a novel, but was it based in Japan? They never specify in the movie at all. But I was saying, and I was saying to you earlier before I said it here, I thought it was supposed to be based in Japan. So I was like, wouldn't there be more Japanese characters? Because everybody to me looks white, looks like a white person from America.
Right.
That's the way that I looked at it.
And in his other movies, there are more, I think there's more difference in the characters in the film. Like this one almost, I feel like there was a bus that blew by that looked like it had the British flag on it or something.
Oh, are you thinking about the blimp with those flags or no, or the bus?
No, there was like in the city, it was very fast. There was a bus that kind of blows by in this action moment.
Interesting.
And I don't know. I might have just seen it and I didn't go back to rewind it, but it is funny to think that what I was saying earlier, the idea of like, oh, this is a book about a witch who goes away to grow into herself. That's, you know, JK, I'm not saying she stole the idea.
Yeah, yeah.
She came up with it independently.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's so funny that here it is. Here's a story about a young witch that goes away and kind of grows into herself. That this was Harry Potter before Harry Potter.
It's such a good point, because even the premise of it when we started, I was thinking, it's a little far-fetched. It's a little like, it's interesting. Wow, different culture, different ideas. But no, it's totally the same thing, just in a different way. This is with a lot less characters. It's based on this one person in their kind of solo journey.
Right.
Where she's kind of the only one, not the only one, but the only one in each town or each, there's not many, you know, it's not like a school of witches. She has to find her own way. I guess that's a little bit of the difference.
Right.
But yeah, that's a really good point, because that's revered, you know, Harry Potter.
It's a cultural phenomenon. It's it's easily the biggest children's book of its generation. It's a whole series.
Yeah. You've read them all, right?
I have, yes.
I have not. Seen the movies.
I loved them. I thought they were awesome.
Everybody loves them. I don't know one person that's read them that doesn't. So it's, I don't know, it's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's a kid's book, but also, you know, as you're reading through it, it makes you feel. There are parts of Harry Potter where you're, you know, the kids are in class and Harry is in trouble for something he didn't do, and you're just, you hate the teacher because you remember that injustice as a kid, you know? Anyway, we got sidetracked. The movie. Keep going. She lands in this town and she's, first of all, she's flying. She sees the snobby witch, and as she's flying, it starts raining. So she crashes kind of into a low area, and she finds a train to sleep in the hay, and she sleeps in the hay.
She's like, this smells good. I'm like, awesome.
She covers herself in the hay. She gets nice and cozy, and the train starts moving, and she wakes up the next morning, and the train is moving, and she sees this big, you know, they're coming around the bend there by the ocean, and all the animation, all the landscapes are gorgeous in the movie. Ugh. And she sees this new town, and it looks very much like a mini San Francisco to me.
The one that she winds up
staying in, and from afar.
Got it. So to me, I was like, wow, it looks like Greece.
Yes, also, because it's very white.
Yes.
A lot of the structures are white.
Yes, and it's by the water. She wanted to be by the water.
Yes.
She really wanted to be, and she was. Like, you know, she landed in a place by the water. When she looked at it, to me, it looked magical. That's one place I haven't been. I haven't been to a lot of places, but Greece is one place that I've always wanted to go, and I didn't yet. I haven't yet. And when I'm looking at it, I'm like, she's going to her own Greece.
Yeah.
Like, it just looked so beautiful.
And it looks so beautiful, and she pulls up over the town, and it's magnificent. Ugh. I mean, every shot of the town she lives in this is
so beautiful.
Gorgeous. It does look like a small European city or something. And one of the things she does when she first gets there is kind of fly around to show people.
Yeah.
That way everybody can be amazed by her.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness, a witch.
And yet she's still not totally skilled at flying yet. She's still getting her bearings.
Right.
But she's going to impress everybody.
She is. And
she almost causes a pileup.
Yes.
I feel for her. So she's flying. So go ahead if you want to explain.
Well, she's flying and she's trying to make it look, you know, set a good example and have everybody be impressed with her. But instead, she ends up kind of losing control of the broom and, you know, almost smashing into some people and, you know, kind of flying through traffic. And it's
the
a whole
cars almost crash. And
yes.
Poor thing. Go ahead.
And I love that when she lands, everyone's just kind of staring at her. And she's like, hi, I'm Kiki, and this is my best friend, Gigi. And we would be honored if we could live in your town. As if everyone's going to be like, fantastic, welcome.
Welcome, witch.
Yeah. And instead, everybody just kind of smiles at her and walks away. And one woman kind of says, that's nice, dear.
Yeah.
And leaves.
Still walks away.
And she's so crestfallen. She's so sad because she was anticipating the whole town being like, welcome to our community.
Yes.
And instead she just has to walk away.
Well, that's what I kind of love about. So she goes and she's not naive, but when you're young, you have all these hopes and dreams and you haven't been worn down by life yet. You haven't seen what life can throw at you. So she's just excited to go and do her thing. And then reality sets in that people can turn you away. People can judge you. Like, that's that first moment with the witch in the sky, the other witch, that's snooty to her and, like, judgy and looks down at her. That hurts because that happens when you get older and all of a sudden you're in junior high or high school and you have those other crews of people that meh, 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 you know?
Yes, yes.
And that's that first moment. And then when she goes to the town and they're not just welcoming like it is to walk home to your family.
Right.
It's a big life lesson just in getting there.
Exactly. And I like that she, of course, then there's a whole moment. She, you know, the cop tries to flag her down and she gets away with a diversion. And then it turns out this kid comes up and he says, hey, I created that diversion. Aren't you know?
Yeah.
And one of the themes in the movie is the transition from traditional to contemporary.
Mm-hmm.
And she shows both of those qualities. She keeps in her witch outfit, her black robe or whatever it may be, but also has a giant bright red bow in her hair.
I love that. And she's insecure. You know what I love? It's when you're younger, the things that you're insecure about, like if you have a name that's a little bit different or you have something that makes you not like everyone else, for a lot of kids, that can be the worst.
Yes.
But when many people get older, those are the things that they start to love about themselves. So, but I love that when she compares herself to the other girls and she sees all these girls in town that are all pretty and have all these outfits and she's like, I'm not pretty like them. I'm not. And then, you know, I guess it's Osono.
Osono is the lady she ends up meeting. Yes.
So I'm jumping ahead, but just that insecurity and then learning to own who you are. And,
right.
But we'll get there. We'll get there.
Well,
such a journey.
It is. And it's great because she kind of spends the day going about town. The sun is going down. She can't really, She hasn't found a place to live yet. She's, you know, she seems depressed, and she happens upon this kind of beautiful part of the city where she's just on this like stone railing overlooking like a like an alley below or something, and this lady runs out with a pacifier, and she's calling to a customer, "Hey, you forgot this, you forgot this."
And a mommy with a baby who lost the pacifier, which any mother knows that that is their binky. That's like, that's the one thing that will get them to stop crying. And now this woman has to go with a crying baby.
Yes. And Osono is pregnant. So she says, oh, I'll have to go give this to her. And she goes to close up her shop with customers inside her bakery so that she can go deliver it. And Kiki offers to do so. And she does. And when she gets back, she said, I delivered that. This lady told me to give you a note. And she said, hey, you know, your new delivery girl is great.
Yes.
And Osono basically offers her not only a job, but also a place to live. Mm-hmm. She's got a spare room.
Yep.
And Kiki can stay there. So she's succeeded. She's got her new place.
And I love that that happened because she was being her. She was being thoughtful. She was using what is given to her, that she can fly that over to this mom. She was helping this woman out. No, you don't have to close your shop. She was genuinely being who her, to me, who her spirit is, who her... who she is as a person. She was just being helpful.
Right, right. And for that, the universe rewarded her.
Yes, yes. Exactly. And I backpacked, and I was 24 when I backpacked, and I just want to say this quick. When the cop, so when she first gets there and then she almost messes up traffic and causes accidents, the cop wants to ticket her and all this stuff. She's a kid. Right. And I'm going, oh my God, I was 24 and in Italy and cops are trying to ticket me and it's so upsetting and you're so lost and confused. And like, she's 13.
Right.
And she's, and this girl's getting through it. I'm like, way to go, Keeks, you know, like you Keeks. Got this girl. and a guy, you know, and like the universe looks out that, you know, the kid, Tombo.
Yeah.
He just sees this girl and he distracted. So the way that she got away from that cop is you hear a voice go, thief, thief, you stole my, and this, the guy that runs after her, Tombo, I guess he kind of thinks she's cute, you know, he's into her, and he's like, you like how I did that? He just totally distracted the cop by just saying thief, thief. And I just love that.
I mean, to be fair, when a new girl flies into town,
she's kind of the hot thing. It's a hot ticket right there.
That's what you call making an entrance.
And then I love how she's not really digging that he's all about her. She wanted to be recognized and like welcome to this town, but this boy.
Well, it goes back to that traditional thing. Like, yes. I was saying, she gets mad at him because he starts speaking to her and he doesn't introduce himself.
Yes.
And that's rude.
That is rude.
So she tells him to leave her alone.
Yes.
And then flies away.
I love the animation when whenever he comes around, her huffy and puffy faces and like,
She twists her head to the side.
Yeah, she twists her head to the side and you see her face like curl up. And I just love that. Yes. And I love that tradition, you know, that he should introduce himself. And she just kind of was like, about this boy until, you know, we'll get there. Yeah. But yeah, I just love that. I really love that.
And so one of the things I was saying earlier about the novel, how this is based off of a book, I felt the same way very much about the plot of this movie. Oftentimes, I think I read Stephen King say it's about the journey, because movies typically, they tie up in a nice little bow at the end.
Yes.
Whereas books kind of almost just kind of write out, they kind of write out a long straightaway.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Yeah. If that makes any sense.
You're so in the journey.
Right.
Until
the journey's over.
Exactly. But you were mostly immersed in a journey.
And it doesn't necessarily end where you thought it was going to end or thought it might end.
Yep.
It kind of ends before you know it or where you don't think it will.
Yep.
And that is very much the way I felt about this film and the story and the plot. It's kind of, you know, the whole quote-unquote challenge in the movie or the story is she just moves away and has to find her own way.
Yeah.
That's it. There's no, like, bad guy. There's no villain. There's no underlying or whatever. There's no conflict.
Yes.
It's just she has to make her own way.
It's, I think the conflict is, which I love about this, is the inner conflict.
Right.
And the outer conflict of being, you know, figuring out the inner conflict in the world.
Right.
With others in real time with what the world throws at you.
Right.
And that's what I love. You get to see this character do that.
Yes.
At such a young age. And it's really beautiful.
It is. And I'm still amazed that she starts working. But anyway, she gets her room.
Yeah.
She now works for Osono. She told her she'd give her. That was one other thing. I don't know if you picked up. There's one part. Osono offers her free breakfast.
Yes.
As payment.
Yes.
Later, Kiki is saying that she'll have to eat pancakes and eat pancakes and eat pancakes.
Yes.
In the original, she doesn't offer her breakfast. She says, we'll pay you in pancakes. And she gives her a wink.
Huh.
Which I was kind of like, it makes less sense the way they did it in this version.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she mentions pancakes a few times about eating, that's it, and you'll get fat and you'll gain weight. And
yeah. But she does, but that's interesting though, because she does make her own pancakes.
She does at one point, yeah.
She does at one point. Maybe she's just super hungry that day. Some extra pancakes.
Well, I think at that point, maybe she can't deliver stuff. Is maybe that the deal?
Oh, it might have been
then.
She
was making her own breakfast because of it.
And she's like, I'm going to get fat. She's so mad. She's so mad.
She is. And she and she's telling the cat, I don't mind pancakes. Don't come crying to me when all you eat is pancakes and you're as big as one.
When you're the size of a pancake. Yeah. That's not her voice at all, but the sentiment is the same.
Well, one thing I really love about this movie is how Kiki, like you said, her natural kindness and her natural disposition, willingness to help people. And when she gets her first delivery, she has to take this toy cat to someone. She doesn't know who.
Yeah.
And she's flying there, and a big gust of wind comes and knocks her into the woods, mm-hmm. and she doesn't realize she's lost the cat. Because it looks like what is like a canary cage,
yeah,
basically.
Little bird cage, yeah.
And she doesn't realize until she's flying away. But, of course, when she crashes, she gets attacked by crows or ravens. I don't know which one.
Yeah, they were saying crows.
Crows.
But yeah.
So she tries to go back to get it, but she can't because there are so many attacking her.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Gigi has to take the place of
the toy cat. Canary. So this was the present. It was a present for a little kid.
Yeah.
And that she had to deliver. And the present was a little stuffed animal cat in the birdcage. And that's what. And so, yeah. So once she's flying and the gust of wind blows her out of the sky, she loses a little stuffed cat, which is part of the whole present.
Yes.
That looks exactly like her cat, Gigi.
Yes.
So,
and then she has to take him. She's like, just hold still so I can go get that. So then the cat has to just pretend he's a stuffed cat.
He's like, can I breathe? She's like, no breathing.
Yeah. So he goes in and there's this little wild, rich, spoiled kid who basically doesn't even care about the cat. He only wants the cage so he can put his canary in there.
Yeah.
And he's just, when he gets the package, the gift, oh, she rings the bell and, oh, I have this gift from so-and-so. And he's like, this is dumb. His mom comes and it's, can I put the canary in here?
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't give
he just throws
a
the
damn
cat away.
About
yep.
the cat. But then the dog in the house likes the cat, which I think is kind of funny.
I love this. But that's life, right? I was saying to you, I even made you pause it. And I said, why does everybody always say, like, they fight like cats and dogs? Because they don't always, I think to myself, cats and dogs don't always fight.
No, they don't.
And then in this movie, this dog, and I love the surprising nature of that and kindness in unexpected places. So this cat is now, Gigi, her cat is now pretending to be a stuffed animal, sees this big dog in the house, and he's just like, you see him shiver, like he starts shaking. And this dog just wraps himself around him. He like likes him. He licks him, and then he just wraps himself to lay with the cat.
Yeah.
Like kindness.
Yes.
And then if you wanted to, go ahead. But so Kiki finally gets the stuffed cat back.
Yeah. She goes and meets her first friend on her new adventure,
yes.
Ursula, who's like an artist that lives in the woods.
Yes.
She has a cabin there, and she had found the cat.
Yeah. And then, which I want to go back to because
sure.
I love that. But then so when Kiki
After
goes
After she
back,
leaves Ursula.
Yeah, she leaves Ursula, which we'll go back to because Ursula's awesome, which I've come to know. Mm-hmm. And she goes back to bring the stuffed cat back, and how is she going to get Gigi out? And the dog takes Gigi in the mouth and pretends in his mouth and pretends like he has to go out, so that little snobby boy goes, all right, just make sure, go outside and close the door when you get in. And he brought Gigi and dropped Gigi outside so he can run away. And then that's when Kiki was there, and he just did that to help the cat out. And I just love that. And then Gigi was back with Kiki and the dog went back in and shut the door.
Yeah,
I just love that. It was kindness when you don't expect it, where that dog could have been, that could have been a mean scene.
Right. That's the whole thing. The way they tease it and the way they set up, the way it is set up is that Kiki is stressed because, oh shit, there's a dog in the house.
Yeah.
But the dog, surprisingly, yeah. Initially it seems like maybe the dog might eat the cat or whatever, but it turns out the dog never hurts
him. Because he's sleeping.
Just, yeah.
He's sleeping at first, so we're not sure. We're like, what's going to happen here? But it was all good.
And he's a big, like, he must be like a, he looks kind of like a basset hound, like a long face, long ears.
He looks exactly like the dog, if you've ever been to Disney World, and the, it's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow. You know, the time, anyway, it's the circle of, it was at the town, what the hell is it called?
I do not know. I've only been to Disney World once.
Oh, man. Well, if anybody knows that, the Circle of Tomorrow, whatever it is, it was in the big fair, the Chicago Fair.
Oh, okay.
And that's the dog. It looks exactly like that dog, just animated.
Okay.
Yeah, that dog's awesome.
So, Ursula.
Yeah.
So she meets Ursula, and Ursula's, like, older than her.
Yeah.
I think she's got to be in her early 20s,
that's what
I'm
I was
guessing.
Thinking. I'm like, she's got to be, like, 22, 23.
And she's a painter, and she said, no, that cat's mine. I dropped it. And she said, okay, well, you know, maybe we can – and she said, okay, well, you can have it back even though I like it. And then it's ripped. She's got to stitch the neck up.
Because so the crows
she's
drawing
it.
Because she's an artist.
Yes.
So she's sitting on her roof. She's like, up here, I'm on the roof. Just like, you know, as we do. And she's just drawing the crows, and they're just sitting still for her. Like, she made this rapport with them, and she's drawing them, and it's just beautiful. She's like, stay still. And it's like, these were the crows that attacked Kiki because, oh, so when Kiki does lose the thing, it's because she falls into these trees, and the crows think that she's trying to steal the eggs,
right,
which are in a nest, and so they're, like, chasing her off. But, so these crows are now really being sweet with Ursula, and so she becomes friends with Ursula.
She does.
I love that Ursula's an artist.
Yes. And she lives in a little cabin in the woods, secluded.
Yeah. And I was thinking when she goes there, and then at first I was like, Ursula's like, all right, so, and you just, she's, you could have it back if, and then you see Kiki like washing her floors, and I'm like, she's making her do chores, but she was just giving her something to do, like a trade, while she sewed up the cat.
Yes,
for
Kiki.
So at first I was kind of like, that doesn't seem fair, but yeah. So she sewed it up and gave it to her and sent her on her way.
Yep.
And was
that's
like,
when she goes back and gets
Gigi. And then she's like, you know, hope to see you again, and you know, come visit me sometime. Or she said, I think she says something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
And so then at some point, well, this is kind of maybe my favorite part. But at some point, we meet up with Ursula later, which we'll get to.
Well, there's really only one other segment before that.
Okay,
so why don't we
it.
Just cover that other segment, which is
yeah.
She ends up doing more deliveries. She and Tombo. She and Tombo start getting a little closer. He kind of invites her out. She gets stuck on a delivery to an old lady. And
older lady. I'm trying to do that.
we can say that, or we can just say old lady.
She was like 90.
Who is super old, white hair, wrinkled lips. That's how old
she is.
She's
like, I can't really get up anymore.
Her top lip is wrinkled. That's how old
she is. She doesn't even have a top lip anymore.
Yeah. But anyway, Kiki goes to her house to deliver something. She ends up like helping her cook a pie and fix the light bulbs in the house while the pie's cooking. And she delivers that pie to her shitty little granddaughter, who's like, I hate this stupid pie.
She's like, I told grandma not to do that. I hate it.
Right. And after she delivers that, it's raining, so she's got only one set of clothes.
I was going to say, but before that, so she's now, she's on a time budget because, so Tombo, who, this is the boy that in the beginning, she was like, he didn't introduce himself. He goes to the bakery where she's minding the shop, like she promised Asono she would, and he comes in there, and she's still like, and she won't give him the time of day, and then he gives her a little invitation, a nice written out envelope that says to Miss Witch. And so A, he called her by her name, even though he didn't know it. He didn't know it. And he invited her to a party at 6 o'clock, and he was going to pick her up. And she didn't even have time because at the same time, some guy comes in with this big delivery, and she didn't even have time to like fight him on it. But I think she partly wanted to. So he's like, I'll be here at 6. Bye. And he walks out. So now she plans on going.
Yes.
And being there at 6. So that's why. So she helps this old lady. She delivers this thing. So there's a time crunch. She's got to be there by 6, ready to go to a party.
Right.
And gals know that takes a little bit.
A little bit.
A little bit.
And when she gets there, he's just walking away. She's late because of the rain and because of whatever.
Yeah.
But even when she gets there, he's already walking away. And Osono says, that poor boy's been waiting. We were worried about you. And she says, I can't go in these wet clothes anyway. So she goes in and she's sad. She actually gets a fever.
Yeah.
So Osono brings her back to health with some oatmeal and taking care of her. And then Osono sends her on an assignment. In the meanwhile, her cat, Gigi, kind of has this new girlfriend, that snooty cat from earlier in the film we did not mention. There's one interaction where he's like, what a snob.
Yeah, she's like this white, fluffy. She's like the opposite because he's a little black cat, like for a witch. And she's this white, fluffy, blue-eyed thing.
Yes, very fancy
very
looking.
Very fancy cat.
And he has kind of started hanging out with her.
Yeah.
So she wakes up and she says, I have to go do, Osono says, go deliver this.
Yeah.
And Gigi stays behind with his girlfriend. Kiki tells him to. And when she gets there, it turns out it's for Tombo.
Mm.
And she's like, I can't believe Osono would do this to me. Anyway, Tombo shows her this cool bike that he's building with a propeller. It's part of a flying machine. And they basically have this kind of impromptu date where they have this great adventure. And the animation during this was awesome because he's on a bike with a propeller and he's pedaling it. Kiki's on the back like it's a motorcycle.
Yep.
And they're flying down a hill and the propeller's just pulling them along. And it's like pole position. The animation is like pulling them. They're like leaning around the corners.
Yeah, I love where he's like, you're going to have to lean. So like when they're turning around a corner, like she's just like leaning so close to the road. Like she throws her whole body over. And the animation is awesome.
It's so good.
And the propeller.
Yes.
It's so cool.
And they have this awesome thing. But of course there's traffic, there's cars. And there's one of the things I like is there are people as they're going down the street, there are cars with people and kids in them beeping, like waving at them and like cheering
so
for them.
So cool. I think they were saying like, so cool. Yeah.
And then traffic comes and they end up flying off the road. And actually at one point before that, they go off a jump or a bump or something and they're flying. And Tombo actually says, he had said to her earlier something about flying and it would be so cool.
Yeah.
And I was like, we're flying. And
I know.
Then the traffic comes and somebody tries to pass another truck or whatever, and they get shoved off the road, and they fly down, and the bike kind of smashes apart. I mean, luckily they're okay, but, the propeller goes flying away.
Tombo has some scratches on his face or dirt on his face, and she apparently finds that hysterical.
Yes.
She's like...
Well, that was another difference. I don't believe she says anything about his face in the original.
I was wondering.
I think it's just she starts cracking up, and she's in this scene, Tombo's like, am I really that funny looking? And she's cracking up, and she's like, I was so scared. I'm pretty sure in the original, she just starts laughing and he's like, what is so funny? And she's like, I was so scared. And she's like having this reaction to being okay after being so terrified. And then he starts laughing too.
Which makes more sense.
Yeah.
To me makes more sense. And just a quick question about the laughing. Do you remember seeing it in the Japanese version, like Osono's laughing?
Yes.
And was it kind of similar?
I feel like what you're referring to is several times throughout the film, a grown-up laughs at Kiki kind of heartily.
Yes.
And I feel like it's more normalized in the Japanese version. In this one, it's I think partly because the cadence of the animation, which is obviously set to Japanese language, the lines don't necessarily set those laughs up as well as they do in the original.
Some of Osono's laughs, particularly Osono's, were so hearty that it was almost like odd, like it almost seemed like mad laughter because it was way heartier than like the situation called for.
It seems out of place.
Yes exactly.
I
seemed
agree.
Out of place, and I was kind of like that made me laugh,
right?
Because I was like all right, weirdo.
Yeah.
But it was well intentioned, but it seemed weird.
Yes. So they go and they have their moment and they're sitting there and they're both talking, having a nice conversation, and the carload of kids, that's one thing about this town and that I think is funny about the story. Kiki is 13.
Yeah.
Tombo, even if he's 13, he's always hanging out with kids who drive a convertible. Like it's a 1950s greaser movie. Every kid in this town apparently has a license and drives everywhere.
I know.
With no top on the car, with kids sitting on the back, just like, hey, man, let's go race some hell.
I actually, from the beginning, I was thinking to myself that Tombo seemed older.
He may be a few years older.
I feel like maybe she's 13 and he's 16.
Maybe.
And maybe his friends are 17, so they drive.
Yes.
Let's assume. Because he does seem a little older than her.
Yes. So during the scene, his friends pull up, including all the pretty girls she saw earlier. Mm-hmm. And they say, hey, we've got this. And they call it a dirigible in this movie, which I think is funny.
Is that, I don't know that word. Like, I didn't know that word until I asked you.
Yeah, which is just a blimp. So they said, hey, there's a big exhibition or something. We've got tickets. We can get in, whatever it is. Let's go right now. We can go see that dirigible. And he had already mentioned to her, oh, you didn't see it? Because that's where he was taking her to go see it.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, great. You know, Kiki, come on, let's go with them. And she doesn't want to go.
Yeah.
So, of course, she kind of shuts him down and he goes with them. And
well, she shuts down completely.
Yeah, she shuts down.
She just, and he's like, what did I do? Like, she's just like, no, and she just walks away and she's totally, now she's totally within herself and he has no idea what the heck just happened.
Right.
She just shut down.
So he just has no choice but to leave.
Yeah, he's just like, oh, okay. Like as if he just shrugged his shoulders. Like, I don't know what the heck.
Right. I don't know what I did.
Yeah. So, all right.
And she walks home down the interstate.
Yeah, I was like, that's not safe at all.
Down like a California highway.
And the turn part. The actual turn where you can't see anything
around
the
corner.
The bend,
like a luxury sedan advertisement.
That's exactly what
the
I was thinking.
The hairpin turn that one of those cars would be taking. That's where she's walking on the road.
And then safely just the next animation is just her safely like in front of one of the stores.
Yes. And she's home. And then she has this moment with Gigi where Gigi comes home from his myriad of dates with his girlfriend and he's just meowing. He's not, and she says, oh, I feel sad. Every time I get around people, I kind of tense up or things go bad. And he just leaves. And she's like, some friend you are. And the next morning they're eating breakfast. He comes back and he's just meowing. And it suddenly hits her. She doesn't understand what he's saying.
Yeah. Because we had never heard him meow before.
Right.
We've only heard him speak in conversation with her in English. Well, for us, it's English, but he speaks her language. So this is the first time.
And she freaks out and she has a moment of realization where, oh my gosh, does this mean that I don't have my powers? And she goes and gets on her broom and it's failing. Her powers are failing. Mm. So you cut and it's her running down a hill with her broom at night. So she's clearly been at this all day because she was eating breakfast. So she's clearly been at it all day trying to get her powers back and see if she can get her powers back. It's nighttime and her powers are just failing, failing, failing. And it's getting worse. And she has this moment. And what's funny is this is like nearly a 2-hour film. Mm-hmm. This all happens with like a half hour, 20 minutes left in the film.
Yeah, it's like very, very towards the end.
This is normally the second movie in a trilogy of superhero movies.
Yes.
This is where this part starts. But instead, it's like the end third of the movie, maybe.
Can I say one thing that I just didn't want to skip over?
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say when Tombo, when she shuts down and she walks away, I don't want to just gloss over that moment because it's so powerful because she's 13 years old. She's trying to figure out who she is. She's different, which she was so gung-ho about embracing. But then she sees the quote-unquote cool kids or normal kids. And she just, when she retreats within herself, she just all of a sudden doesn't feel good enough. Doesn't feel the same as, doesn't feel as pretty as, doesn't feel, she just feels bad.
Yes.
And it's such a powerful moment because it's especially in those years where you're figuring out who you are and then you're around the popular kids or these kids and they're doing this and doing that. And I know, even when you are part of those crews, you always feel different.
Yeah.
And that moment she just retreated, she just felt so down and bad and not like everyone else.
Yes.
And I just love that because I think we can all feel that way at times. Mm-hmm. And especially for this character who is so different. She's a witch.
Right.
Trying to find her way. I just thought it was a beautiful
moment.
She can
fly.
She can fly. Right. And yet she has this amazing power that most people don't have that would dream for. And yet she feels less than.
Yes.
Compared to all these people. It's amazing.
It is.
It's amazing. So I just didn't want to just.
No, I'm glad you said that because I also agree. It's, you know, that is a moment. It's like it's coming of age, right? And that's really hard.
It's really hard.
Especially with a big group of people that we're guessing are older than her or older than you in life. And you've got to like go just suddenly join them. And it's like she already kind of doesn't like those girls for whatever reason. You know, she's intimidated by them or they have nicer clothes or whatever it may be.
And everything seems so light for them. They're like, let's go party. Let's go see this. Let's go see that. And I think everybody has those internal struggles. But I know I can look at other people and it looks like they have it all together.
Right.
And it makes me feel even worse. Like I should have it figured out.
Right.
So I think it's just seeing like they're all having fun.
Right.
And I'm not. What's wrong with me?
Exactly.
And I think we all can feel that. So I get Kiki.
Yes. I understand that feeling.
Yeah, I know. I think we all do. So go ahead. So we were saying.
So she loses her powers or they're very depleted. She's feeling down and then boom, Ursula shows up. checks out her place. Hey, nice place. And then the cat shows up and she meets...
Ursula comes visits her.
To visit her, yeah. And...
Ursula's the woman from the cabin.
From the cabin, yes, the artist. So she comes and she...
Jinx by Miko.
She basically says, oh, well, she, you know, she has this moment. It kind of cuts and she's like, I didn't know that could happen to witches. Basically, like, she tells her she's losing her power. Mm-hmm. She doesn't know. So Ursula says, come visit me. And they go away to her cabin.
She's like, it'll be simple out there. Just come to a cabin and you'll feel better.
Yes.
Which I love.
Yes.
Because it's kind of like how I say to you, like going camping is like getting out of all that stuff, like out of, you know, and it's just simple. And yeah. And it's good for her. She does. She goes. She doesn't have to worry about doing her deliveries or flying. She just is with a friend.
Right. And, you know, they have very, there's one little moment that I really love. And they get on this bus. They run. Ursula's like, come on, the bus is going to be late. We're going to miss it. And they run and they get on, and Ursula has this huge backpack and this huge straw hat.
Yep.
And they sit down at the back of the bus, the two of them, and Ursula blows a bubble, and then she just reaches over with something in her hand, and she empties out some bubble gum into her hand. And it's this tiny little moment, but it's such a – the sun is shining. They're going on an adventure. Ugh. And now she's got this handful of, like, shiny, bright – fruity candy, you know?
That's right. And
it said, just something, a little happy thing for her.
That was another thing. I think what it said. It said fruit.
Yeah.
It said fruit, like fruit gum, you know? And that was, I was wondering about that animation, like if they changed that, you know? And just, yes, she's in this terrible space and she's feeling so bad and her whole world, her dreams, everything she thinks she's supposed to be is falling apart. And she has a friend.
Right.
That just goes, come with me. I'll take care of you. Mm-hmm. I got you. And I feel like that's the most amazing thing. She's not alone anymore. And it was with, and so we'll see, and we'll talk about this, that time with Ursula where she got out the other end, or at least felt a lot better.
Yes.
And that was, if you want to go into that, that was maybe my favorite part of the movie.
Well, this is basically where the plot has led to. Yeah. So, yeah. So here she goes and she's out there in the cabin with Ursula and they're kind of just getting away.
Yeah. And Ursula's talking about being an artist and how she says something. I made you pause this a bunch of times because I just loved it and I just wanted to really take it in. But she said, you know, oh, I guess being a witch and being an artist are really quite similar. And she says something like that. And Kiki's so worried. She's so worried she's not going to get her powers back. All she can think about is that what's going to happen. And she says, she's just talking about how it's so similar being an artist and a witch, and that there was a time where she couldn't paint at all. It was everything she was saying was just such a blocked artist. It was, she couldn't come up with anything. And then she just started doing other people's work, making copies, and they weren't very good copies, she says. And she just couldn't paint to anything. And then she stopped trying. She stopped pushing and she stopped and she just let go. And then once she did that, it just came to her when she stopped trying so hard. And there was something that Kiki said, and she said, without even thinking about it, I used to be able to fly. Now I'm trying to look inside myself to find out how I did it, but I just can't figure it out. And then that's when Ursula says, stop trying. And Kiki says, you think my problems will go away? And Ursula says, yes. Don't even think about it. And I loved that so much because there's things that come so naturally. And I know for myself, as soon as I get in my head, it is a bad neighborhood up there. It just robs me of just being able to just be.
Yes. And I think too, it comes from a long time of stress and being worn out and doing the same thing over and over. As silly as this might sound, even in certain video games, there'll be certain video games I've played in my life where I'm going through the game and I'm enjoying it, but it's a challenge. So I'm really mm-hmm. putting everything I've got into, like, the skill of achieving this, making these jumps, timing everything right.
Yep.
And you get to this one part where you might play it 150 times mm-hmm. in a row and you can't beat it. But you might go, forget it, and you might turn it off, and you might go back like 2 or 3 days later, and maybe on the third try, no problem.
Yep.
You just totally kill it.
And that's Ursula's like, take a break. Take some walks. That's what she said. So she's, you know, Kiki's so upset she can't fly. What if she loses her powers? And Ursula just says, take a break. Take some walks. Take in the scenery. Look at the town. And she's saying all these things, and it's so simple, and it's so true.
Right.
It's that, I know for me, and I'm sure everybody, we can hammer it in. We can, especially the more important it is, the more we have to do it and get it right and figure it out. When really the best stuff, I think, that I've learned comes from when we let go. There's this quote that one of those like gurus used to say, but it's like what you pay attention to grows. Mm-hmm. So if you're paying attention to what's not working, it just keeps not working.
Right.
And you know, it's just what you pay attention to grows. If there's a problem and you're focusing on the problem's just going to stay there and be bigger and frustrating. So she just had to let go.
She did.
Yeah.
And so she...
I love that. I love that more than anything. I thought that was such a beautiful moment.
Yes. The whole, and the other thing is, too, when she gets there, Kiki walks in and there's this beautiful painting.
Yep.
And she's like, and this was more prevalently clear in the, it was more, it was, this was more clear in the Japanese version, but she says, is that me? She says, yeah, you bet. That's you. I started painting this as soon as I met you or whatever it
and
is.
And that's, yeah.
And the painting really speaks to Kiki. Mm. And it's this moment of like, she does feel special. She inspired this whole thing that she loves. So anyway, she has this moment with Ursula. She has her night in the cabin. They have a great time. They have their getaway.
Yeah. And they talk about inspiration. That's what she talks about. She goes, wait until you're inspired.
Right.
Inspiration will come. And that's what she says to Kiki. Like, I wanted to paint. As soon as I met you, I was like, I want to paint.
Right.
She was inspired by Kiki.
Right.
It just has to come. You can't force it. And I love it.
Yes, exactly. So they have their moment. They have their night at the cabin. Kiki gets re-inspired. And then Ursula sends her back on her way home. She heads back home. And on the, I don't remember if it's on the way home or she goes home and then heads back, but she heads back to the old lady with the pie. And the old lady gives her a birthday cake. And she says,
well, what, it was a cake and it was just, and it was just made, it just, what did it say?
It said Kiki's
delivery. It said Kiki's delivery.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so she just made it for her. And then she said, and then maybe that young girl will give me her birthday so I can bake her birthday cake as well.
Yes. And she has this beautiful moment where she's very touched by this. And then she tells the lady, well, maybe she could tell me her birthday and I could come back again or whatever it may be. And while she's there having this nice moment with this old lady, and there's another lady that lives with her, which we didn't mention, who's kind of the comic relief.
Yeah, she is.
She's a funny character. But anyway, like that lady, she's watching the TV, and the blimp. There was one part we left out where they see Tombo in the blimp flying over, and he's waving to them.
Yes.
Anyway, here he is. Here's the TV, and they're doing this live news report, breaking news. And the blimp is, like, out of control or crashing or whatever.
Yeah.
And Kiki sees that Tombo is there, and she's like, oh my gosh, oh no, that's my friend. So she flies down there to wherever it is. She doesn't fly.
Well, I was like, she just heads down
there. When she gets down there, she sees a guy sweeping the street. Tombo is hanging by a rope.
Thread,
he is like hanging for his life.
Yep.
The blimp is going to crash into a tower, and she convinces this. And that's the other thing. In the Japanese version, the guy lets her have it. In the English version, she just – he's like, you can't have this, and she just rips it anyway.
Yeah, she's like, oh, thanks anyway.
And I love it because I think it's so funny because I've never seen this before where a witch – normally you see a witch's broom, and it's this specific style.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, a witch's broom.
Yep.
This is literally like a dude bought this. It's a wooden
– it's the rectangle kind.
It's the rectangle kind, so it's like a flat –
with the short bristles that are like pushing stuff along.
And Kiki takes it, and she – starts taking off, and I love when she takes off because the wind kind of kicks up and her dress kicks up and her hair and her bow, and she takes off, and of course she's bouncing everywhere, bang bang bang, like a pinball.
It's like learning to walk again.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she bounces all around, and then she falls out of the sky and has to run down a roof and jump and take off again.
It's so great.
But she's still, and she's telling the broom like, come on, come on, you know. And here's Tombo, and my favorite part of this scene too is there's a news reporter who is like screaming. He's in the Japanese version, he's even more over the top, but he's just like, and this brave man is hanging on for dear life. And there's a crowd all around him.
When you said the Japanese version is more, I'm like, I can't even imagine that.
The English one is so over the top, but the Japanese guy is just landed on thick.
That's so funny.
And anyway, so they get, she flies up and she tries to save Tombo, and she's struggling. She can't, she's right near him, and she's reaching for him. And then he loses a grip and he falls. And then she falls down. He falls. She dives after him and just catches him just above the by the wrist, like just above the ground.
Yep.
And there's this big moment of like everyone cheering, everyone screaming and celebrating this big save that she made. And what I kind of like about it, similarly to a book, is that's basically where it ends. People surround her.
Yep.
And there's news reporters and cameras and people cheering and shoving a microphone in her face.
Yep.
And Gigi shows up, who's still meowing.
I was like, what happened to his voice? Yeah.
Gigi shows up, but that's where the movie ends. There's like now a little montage where there's more music and you just get these little cut scenes and you see her with Tombo.
Yep.
And the flying machine works.
Yep.
And you see Gigi with his little kitten. And you or kittens, I don't
remember. Yeah, they had kittens.
And you see Kiki, you know, she has there's a new metal sign that Tombo hangs for her outside the bakery. And you see that she gets this life she wanted and that she was working for.
Yeah.
And then she finally writes her letter home to her parents, which she has not done since she got there.
I know.
She sends the first letter home and she gets the letter home and her dad and her mom and their neighbor read the letter. And it's, you know, oh, we're doing all right. And, and the movie ends with him, the voiceover of him reading, and she's just back on her broom delivering, and she's flying over this city that she lives in.
It's so nice. And just to comment, so when she had left Ursula's, she had left the old ladies, she still couldn't fly.
Right.
So she left the old ladies. Oh, my God, my friends. So Tombo was about to die. And it was that was the inspiration. That was, you know, she still didn't have it. And then she was just inspired. She got in touch with her true spirit and she was able to fly again.
Yes.
That was what I loved. Because Ursula said to her, you have to remember what and why you want to do what you want to do.
Yes.
So, and I just thought to myself, that's right. Why do I want to do the what and why? And that's what matters.
Yes.
Because if we don't know that, then what are we doing? And so the what and why to save Tombo, and why, because that's who she is. That's what she's supposed to do. She's this helpful, giving spirit. And that gave her powers back.
Yes.
I just love that.
I do too. And I love this film.
I loved it.
I think the story is great. The music is great. The animation is excellent.
Beautiful,
And plus, like we were saying, if you watch it in Japanese with the English subtitles on and then you watch the English dub, you kind of get two versions of the movie.
Yeah.
So it's
I'm in for the Japanese version next.
Yeah. It's worth I would say it's worth watching twice because there are differences. And I do think I like the Japanese version better. I just think it's a tighter thing. I know that part of it is they have to try to make the dialogue fit the words that are animated to Japanese.
Yeah.
That's tough. But overall, I think this is an awesome movie. Anybody that is a fan of animation, is a fan of Miyazaki's, if you haven't seen this movie, I'd highly recommend it. I think it's great. He has yet to – I have not seen all of his movies, but of the ones I have not seen a bad one.
And you – this was totally new to me. I've never seen –
You never even had heard of it.
I've never even heard of it. I'm not particularly into anime or – I mean, I dig it, but this was – you know, you totally threw this on me, and I totally dig it. It was – I'm so glad that you showed it to me. That you're introducing me to this because it's way worth it. I mean, really, really enjoyable.
And there is one other thing which I forgot to mention that I thought was kind of funny. There's a scene, the scene where she's at Ursula's cabin and she's where Kiki gets her groove back.
Yeah. I love that.
there's this music during that scene that I thought was so funny. It was so telling of the time because this was made in 1989.
Yeah.
The music was straight out of Doogie Howser. It was like that same like synthesizer kind of playing.
Yes, it was because I was like interesting.
It does not take anything away from the film. I just thought it was funny.
The time
it just jumped out at me. I'm like, oh, this is the only thing that's really indicative of the time.
Uh huh.
Is this with like the kind of synthesized piano? I think it is.
It's very funny when you told me this was made in 1989. It holds up like it was just made.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's not always the case. I guess maybe with animation, that's a little bit easier because you're not seeing like set designs of like, you know, things from 1989. But this was, I mean, it could have been made 2 years ago.
Yeah.
It was wonderful.
It's great. It's a 30-year-old movie. It still holds up.
30 years. That's crazy. That's how long that is.
I know, right?
Wow.
But we'd highly recommend it.
Highly.
And do you have anything else you want to say?
My man, thank you. You introduced me to this. So, people, we're introducing you to it. If you haven't seen it, go for it.
Go for it. Check out Kiki. And guys, tomorrow we'll be back with another special edition of Spectacular Show back here in the Warp Zone for another Miyazaki film, Warp Zone.
Warp Zone!
Warp Zone! Round 2. Thank you guys for listening. See you tomorrow.
Thanks.
Bye.